Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. If you drive or walk or have eyes or ears that are subject to being visually or orally assaulted, you know construction is everywhere in New York City right now. So with construction in the city just coming down from an all-time high, if I have my stats right, I'm joined now by the man who is charged with keeping things in line, Rick Chandler, Commissioner of the New York City Buildings Department. He's here to talk about his twin goals of keeping things moving with this major economic engine while keeping the construction and the building safe for New Yorkers to live and work in. Welcome to WNYC, Commissioner Chandler.
Good morning, Brian.
First of all, how much construction is going on right now in the city? How would you quantify it?
Well, I would say that it's at an absolute all-time high. When permits are down, we're still very, very busy. It's only slightly dropped a little bit from last year. But, as a comparison to 2009, we're well over 300% of what we were doing in 2009.
What does that mean? Like, how many construction projects in the city are going on right now? A number that would boggle the mind?
I would say there's a little more than 40,000 construction projects ongoing right now.
40,000? And are most of those residential buildings, or how can you break that down if you can?
Well, we could break that down. I don't have it at the top of my head, but I think we're at an all-time high with the new buildings, that's for sure.
Are there certain neighborhoods where it's the most active?
Yes, I think everybody would note that certain parts of Brooklyn as they go, and then the Long Island City, the waterfront is very, very busy, and certain parts of Manhattan, lower Manhattan, very, very busy right now.
And I hear that residential permits in the Bronx are starting to climb compared to historic averages.
You're absolutely right. It's picking up a lot, and lots of work happening there.
Do you happen to know, is that certain areas? Is it Port Morris, or what is it?
Well, we're seeing Port Morris, you're right, after that I can't get too specific off the top of my head.
And is there any way that you can say how this building boom is different from the building boom we had before the financial crisis and the housing bust, 2007, 2008? Because we were having the same conversation in 2004, 2005, 2006 in the city. Oh, my God, there's construction everywhere. And then, of course, we know what happened, and now it's back. Is this different in a way that you can – and I know you weren't working in the department then – but is in any way that you could easily just put your eyes on and say, oh, yeah, that was happening then, this is happening now?
Well, just the volume. I was not with the department at that time, but certainly keeping an eye on everything since it's part of the industry. With this volume, there needs to be new initiatives, and that's why I'm excited to talk about what we're doing to modernize the agency. My predecessor laid some groundwork, and we really are taking it to the next level in terms of how people will file and track what we do.
So it's about computerization, which is going to sound like a boring thing, but why should the public care that you're further computerizing the Department of Buildings?
Well, the public should care because we regulate just about every aspect of the built environment in New York City. You know, contrary to any other city agency, we directly regulate the real estate and construction industry, which is the second largest economic driver of the New York City economy. So everyone should have some touch points with our agency, whether they know it or not. Unfortunately, so oftentimes people will hear about our agency when things don't go right. But I assure you that we're doing an awful lot of things right, and this agency and this new initiative is going to make it even that much better.
Did you say second largest driver of the New York City economy?
After the financial industry.
And then comes construction, because there are so many people working in construction.
Construction and real estate together, because we regulate the real estate industry as well.
It sounds like a difficult line to walk, helping the industry while policing it.
It is, and that's why we call it our twin imperatives, because it is about keeping the economy going in terms of getting jobs out there working, but also having the other side of it, looking to enforce the safety. Some people would say that's a contradiction, but it's really not. In fact, with the complexity of the construction laws in New York City, it's absolutely imperative that we have the expertise to look at the zoning, the building code, the safety aspects on the one hand to keep it moving, but then have the same group of subject matter experts or people who move back and forth on our agency to make sure they're doing it right and safe.
And it's that complexity of the bureaucracy that makes the computerization so important, right? I gather this is going to mean fewer times that people have to go into the buildings department in person to do all the paperwork involved with construction?
Absolutely. I mean, let's just be real about what it is today. We do have thousands of pages of the zoning resolution because there's a reason for it. We need to have things built the way they need to be built, and they need to be shown on some form of plans. So, you know, the Department of Buildings has been pushing paper for 90 years. And unfortunately, to even today, you'll see people lining up outside our doors in the morning and carrying in large roll plans on their shoulders as if they were huge burdens of work. And we want that to stop. We want people to be able to just push a button from their home very frequently to most of our interactions during the week on the Internet. It's just going to be a different form of that.
Is there any risk with this of not tracking safety, for example, as well? About a year ago, WNYC News reported on construction safety and found that non-union sites were much more dangerous statistically for workers, but that the city wasn't tracking injuries in that way. Do you know if that's been followed up on in particular? And can you ease the bureaucracy for construction companies while still maintaining safety at a high level?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it's true that accidents happen more frequently on non-union sites. But it's also true that most sites are a mixture of union and non-union, which is one of the reasons we do not track union versus non-union. You could stand there after an accident, which we go to after every accident to investigate it, and you will see different people from different unions or whether it's non-union or not. So OSHA tracks things differently. People hear statistics about OSHA and what they see as accidents versus what we follow up on. And we're two different agencies, and they have different statistics, a way they ask for accident data.
OSHA, the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. So does that mean – were you saying there are accidents every day? Maybe that's inevitable with 40,000 construction sites at once. But is there a construction accident in New York City every day? Would that be an accurate statement?
It'd be accurate to say there's an incident. And we are very good at tracking incidents. We do have a presence at the New York City Emergency Management and the Watch Command, where we have information shared with the fire department and the police department and the 911 calls. And so we're not first responders, but we certainly are very close to that. We have an emergency team and safety inspectors at all times, and we're quite responsive. But incidents, which are not necessarily something where anybody gets hurt, but it's something that we are interested in, and we do track it.
I guess it only makes the news if a crane falls on the public.
Or if someone gets seriously hurt, right.
Rick Chandler is my guest. He's the commissioner of the New York City Buildings Department. As we talk about the computerization of the department, the general streamlining of things that they're trying to accomplish now that we're at a record high or right near a record high number of construction projects going on in the city at one time. And we're opening up the phones now for you. Do you work in the field? Are you a neighbor of a construction site? Anything you want to ask Commissioner Rick Chandler, 212-433-WNYC. And I think Nick in Brooklyn is a first responder and is going to follow up just on what you were talking about. Nick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. Thanks for having me. And my issue is I'm a paramedic. I've worked on construction sites, Fishman. Some of the larger projects have on-site medical. But why is it that the Department of Buildings is not tracking OSHA reportables, and why is there no transparency, particularly with regard to the gap between union projects and non-union projects?
Well, Nick, I think that I alluded to it a minute ago, is that OSHA tracks things like whether you tripped or whether there was a someone who got sick or other types of information. Unfortunately, we had someone who committed suicide on a construction site last week, and the OSHA will put that into a category where we would not count that as a construction accident. As I said earlier as well with the union versus non-union, it is absolutely true that we will see a site and talk to people who are members of a union who are either moonlighting on a non-union job or various unions will be there doing different parts of that job. I would also point out that I don't think it's the best use of our inspectors' time to go out and track down whether people are on, if there's hundreds of people on a job site, whether they're union or not.
Why not then make it mandatory for all sites to report all accidents and all injuries?
Well, I think that's mostly what OSHA does. We're about the construction site safety and what it does to the site, as opposed, including the workers, but also including the pedestrians.
Nick, is there a particular category of thing that you have in mind that you think the city is neglecting?
I think the industry tends to suppress OSHA recordable because it reflects on their projects. So, for example, you know, you could have something that doesn't escalate up to the level of it being a recordable. For example, you know, requiring sutures at an ER versus an abrasion, but yet they both can be symptoms of a safety problem. And if you're not tracking and recording and keeping track of the incidents and trends, you're not going to be able to solve the safety issue.
Nick, thank you very much. Just as a matter of policy on what you just said, Commissioner, if there really is a definable statistical difference in safety between union and non-union sites, why wouldn't, as a matter of policy, the city consider requiring only unionized work at New York City construction sites? And I don't know if that's for you as a commissioner to do or if city council would have to do it, but why wouldn't that be a serious matter of policy consideration if there's really a significantly measurable public safety difference?
Well, I think that the nuances of those measurements that you just referred to are debatable, for one. And, you know, let's get some perspective about this whole thing, is that even one worker death is too many. And so our focus is on the site safety in general and not the organizational structure behind the individual workers, except whether they're being supervised or not. That's why we enacted a new law in the last few months to do construction supervision, and a new rule that will require on buildings up to 9 stories in height that have a construction supervisor, so that we'll check the job every day. One of the things that we see in these accident sites is that there's lack of supervision, and that's part of the problem.
When you said debatable, are you saying it may be a misimpression that union sites are safer than non-union sites?
I think that it's granted that any job that has better supervision is going to be a safer site. And I think that you can intuitively say that a job site that has a union team of supervisors are probably going to be safer. Now, that said, that doesn't preclude us from requiring supervisors on non-union sites as well. That's the goal.
Jennifer in Rockaway Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm living in the Rockaways and part of the Build It Back program, and I've been out of my house for over 9 months. And I wanted to ask the commissioner, every time that I go and I ask questions from anybody on the food chain, it's always the Department of Buildings. They're backed up. They have to do inspections. Are there extra people working for this issue?
Again, I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm really sorry about the inconvenience you're facing with the Build It Back. It's really tragic.
And that's the post-Sandy recovery program, right?
It is. Even these folks have gone through, four years later. Gone through unbelievable hardship, and I'm really sorry to hear that. I can say with 100% certainty is that we're dedicated to getting this done. And you asked the question, do we have more people? We absolutely do. The mayor is adamant that we give this the attention it deserves. We have more people that are dedicated, and we have inspectors that are out there. My examiners are sitting in the same office as the developers. So we're running through the plans. Inspectors are on site. I speak to Amy Peterson on a regular basis, and we meet with the deputy mayor on this weekly.
Maybe 6 months if I'm lucky.
Say again.
I'm not going to be back in my house at least for another 3 to 6 months. Why is it taking so long for the buildings department to get these inspections done?
Well, the other thing that I didn't mention is that's one of the things that excites me about DOB now is that you will be able to see everything that's happening with our system. And unfortunately, it's not happening with your application. With what you could access. But the purpose of DOB Now is to provide radical transparency so that you can see when your application was submitted, what comments we made to it. You'll see the plan, what comments we made, what's holding it up from permit, when is the inspection scheduled, and on and on and on. And I too often find, unfortunately, that people, when we look into it, and I'll be happy to, I'm hoping that you'll provide your name and contact because we'll get back to you today.
I was just going to ask.
Please do that, and I'll have someone call you today. And we too often find out that, the people who are representing your project are somehow delayed, and it's just they're pointing to us as holding them up. But I will gladly follow up, and I'll tell you just that. If we're holding it up, then I'll make sure it gets corrected, and if it's not, I'll point out what's happening.
Okay. Screeners, you have that. Jennifer, you have that. We're going to take your contact information off the air and give it to the commissioner's office for follow-up. And Joe in Bayside, a controller of a construction company. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
We are a waterproofing company, and we deal with buildings in the city all the time. My boss, the president of the company, has a rigger's license through the DOB, and it is a, to put it mildly, nightmare to renew the license every 3 years. We go to the website, we fill out, we bring the documentation that the website says to the counter, to the person at the DOB. They say, no, no, you're supposed to have this, that, and the other thing, which aren't on the website. And then we go and get that stuff, and we come back the next day, speak to somebody else, and said, I don't know why that person told you you needed this. You need this, that, and this. And it takes days. We've had job sites shut down. You can't email anybody at the DOB regarding this. You have to send a fax, which is completely antiquated. I just wanted to ask Rick if he's doing anything to speed up the process or make it more tech-friendly for renewing your rigger's license.
Oh, you've spoken my case so well, and I appreciate that. I'm sorry for your headache, but that's just exactly the point, is we want you to be able to submit that information online so you don't have to come down here. No more faxes. We are absolutely making our email responses more robust because we want to walk the talk. We are having phone customer service banks available, but we're absolutely committed to responding to email requests for information. And the other point you make is that inconsistency is the enemy of economic development, and you just made the case. If you're not able to get a project going because your rigger's license is down, then that's a job that's not happening. And so we can't allow that to continue. And the point of DOB Now is to focus on the applications, but also the licensing. So we've structured it into four groups: licensing, build, inspections, and safety filings for those elevator applications, elevator inspections that have to come in.
Joe, I hope that'll get better for you now. I'm just curious, since you're here, what's the most interesting project your company is working on right now?
You know, it's a lot of mixed-use buildings, nothing particularly. We're doing a lot of work. A lot of work is coming up in the Long Island City area for people like TF Cornerstone and Rock Rose. We're not doing anything in the Bronx yet, but I see that, you know, a lot of that's a lot of affordable housing, which we kind of stay away from. But it's I don't think there's one in project in particular that's coming up. That's
or let me ask you a different way: is there anything that you can see that maybe we can't see from your position as controller of a construction company about how the city is changing?
That's a good question. How the city has changed?
The physical infrastructure or anything else? Maybe I'm putting you on the spot too much, but just in case there's anything.
So, I'm sorry. Say that last part again.
Maybe I'm putting you on the spot too much, but I was just curious from your vantage point. Maybe there's something.
Well, there's a lot more documentation, a lot more use of minority and women-owned businesses that we have to adhere to. It's becoming. You know, union requirements, things. It's becoming a lot more paperwork and a lot more overhead to actually do these projects.
What would be the reason that a company would stay away from affordable housing? Is it
the paperwork involved is onerous, and you know, you there are so many requirements, minority or women. You know, we want to help these people out. We want to. Use minority and women-owned businesses, but sometimes the products they don't supply them, and it's just economically unfeasible to do so. So,
So that's you experience that as a burden.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
Joe. Thank you for your call. Any response to that?
Well, Brian, I would just say that this mayor has made an unprecedented commitment to MWBE because he spoke to that. And I attend regular meetings.
Women and minority-owned business enterprise.
Yes. I mean, the city purchases many billions of dollars worth of goods and services every year. And I think that the progress that this administration's made on those purchases is, again, unprecedented. And it's something that is on our radar on a regular basis. But to the part of affordable housing, I would say that a part of the unprecedented resources that we've been given by the administration, we've formed an affordable housing unit, so that they're a group of engineers and architects and inspectors. And so once those applications are coming, we process them from beginning to end. And we have a close relationship with Commissioner Bean at Housing and her team.
Tricky Bean.
So we are there.
The tricky thing, as we usually hear it, is to get developers to agree to build affordable housing. That's why there are all these deals like 80-20 market rate to affordable, and what's the balance of that, where you can actually get developers to build affordable housing. Is there any issue, as Joe suggests maybe there would be, in getting construction companies to actually put them up once the developers agree to a plan?
Well, again, it's a common refrain about paperwork and bureaucracy, and I can just commit from my part of this large puzzle is that regulation can certainly hold up a very, very good project. And the regulation is there for all the right reasons. And so that's what we're trying to bring is the right reasons. But get it moving if it's ready to move.
All right. One more. Thomas in Long Island City. You're on WNYC. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. Good morning. I'm calling to find out, as the Department of Buildings is responsible for issuing permits for all this new residential construction, especially in Long Island City, does the Department of Buildings investigate and ensure that the power grid system that we have in the city is adequate for all this massive amount of construction? And if it isn't the Department of Buildings, which agency or city's agency or state agencies are responsible for this? And is this a matter that is receiving enough attention? Because I have been through blackouts and brownouts here. We had a terrible one about 10 years ago in Astoria. It was weeks where all the supermarkets lost all their food, and I just wanted to get the commissioners, what's the status of this? Are we sure that all this construction right. is not going to overtax our power grid?
Thank you very much. And to even broaden the question, it's one of the biggest complaints that we get from people who don't want more development in their neighborhoods is, are we overwhelming the infrastructure in general, whether that's seats in public schools or transit stops or the power grid, as Thomas in Long Island City brings up?
It's a really good question, and it's a valid one. I would defer to the City Planning Commission and their planning efforts. I know they put an enormous amount of work into how zoning affects the infrastructure, particularly with school seats, I know that they work very closely. With regard to the power grid, that's not something that I have a lot of say about, but I assure you, again, that this administration and my agency in particular is focused on reducing the carbon footprint, and so that is generally or automatically comes with energy reductions and the fact that there's a wide effort now to reduce the impact on the power grid.
So last thing, you're here partly because the buildings department is making a concerted effort to streamline the bureaucracy, make it easier for companies involved in the city's 40,000 construction sites to do the business that they're required to do with the Department of Buildings. So you want to wrap up by just telling people in the industry how they can best communicate with you, how they can best use these new systems you're putting into place to the advantage of everybody?
Well, I would say that what we've used with DOB now so far is not a mandated system. So it's not public facing as yet. You have to be an industry user, but we will be bringing it public facing for New Yorkers to use in the very near future. Again, radical transparency to hold all the people that file with us accountable, but also our own staff, so that we can evaluate this and make changes on the fly, so that it's not something that people are in the dark about.
Rick Chandler, Commissioner of the New York City Buildings Department. Good luck. It's a big job out there these days, and thank you for coming in and talking about it with us.
Brian, thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to New Yorkers. I usually speak to architects and engineers all day, so this has been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.